The recording has begun, so I will call to order the May 9, 2023 Thurston County Land Use Hearing Calendar. Let me just ask Mr. Green, if you are with us, could you share your video and let us know that you're here, because these opening remarks are largely for your benefit. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. All right, so I do have some lengthy opening remarks. Please stand by and take all of this really important information in. My name is Sharon Rice. I am an attorney who works as a hearing examiner on contract for 11 cities and counties in Western Washington. The Thurston County Commissioners have appointed me to provide hearing examiner services for the county, which gives me jurisdiction to hear and to decide this project. This is project number 2022-103582. It is a request for reasonable use exception submitted by applicant Jim Green related to property at addressed as 8805 Steamboat Island Road Northwest in unincorporated Olympia, Washington. Anyone who needs to get my attention today during these proceedings, you can call me Examiner Rice or Ms. Rice. If anyone has requests on how they should be addressed, please let us know when you first testify. Today's hearing is being conducted virtually on the Zoom platform. The recording created by the Zoom platform is a crucial part of the legal record of this legal proceeding. All testimony and comment that is stated on this meeting will be part of the public record as well as part of the legal record. Because it's possible for inadvertent noise in your background to interfere with somebody else's testimony, it is my habit to ask folks to keep themselves muted when they're not testifying. Thanks for that. Please do check your cell phones or any other noise makers in your environment that you can control so that we can hear everything you have to say when you do testify. I will be asking individuals to testify one at a time. When it's your turn, you'll be acknowledged. I will ask you for the legal record to please state and spell your name and give me your job title or your relationship to the case. Then I will ask you to take an oath to tell the truth before you provide any substantive testimony. Just so you know, the Washington State Appearance of Fairness Doctrine applies to land use hearings, and because it applies to this meeting, I will disclose the following. Again, I'm a contractor, not a county employee. Don't have any interests, personal, familial, financial, or otherwise, anywhere near the subject property. And I haven't had conversations with anybody regarding the merits of this proposal before today's hearing. Having not prejudged the issues, I believe I'm capable of issuing an impartial decision in this application. And anyone who believes they have grounds to challenge my impartiality is required to raise that challenge at their first opportunity, which would be your testimony here today, if you think you do. In an application for land development, the burden of proof belongs to the applicant. That means the applicant is the party whose responsibility it is to provide evidence demonstrating compliance with criteria for approval. However, I will hear from county staff first because they are the experts in county code and typically more familiar with these land use hearings. So first, county staff. I do have questions for county staff. Then I will hear from the applicant. I do have some questions queued up for the applicant. During your testimony, sir, you can add to or challenge anything that the county has said during their presentation. After that, we'll go for public comment. Here at the top, there don't appear to be any members of the public in the meeting. If any arrive, they will have a chance to testify. If any questions or concerns are raised, staff and the applicant will have a chance to respond verbally today during the hearing. At the end of those responses, I'll make a last call for comments, and then I will close the record. The record will be closed, and no additional information can be submitted and considered except for the following. If we identify any documents in the course of testimony that aren't available right now and I admit them, I will allow those to come to me after the close of the record. Also, even though there has been no public comment in this matter so far, I will be treating this application the same as all others, which means I will hold the record open 2 days, business days, for post-hearing written public comment from people who tried to participate but had technology difficulties in doing so. If there is post-hearing written public comment, then staff and the applicants will have a chance to respond. At the end of the hearing, I will go over that post-hearing schedule in detail, and I will email it to the hearing clerk at the end of the hearing so she can forward it to the applicant in writing and it can be posted online. Again, of course, I won't be announcing my decision. I will be taking the evidence under advisement and issuing a written decision within 10 business days from the close of the record. And throughout this hearing, if there's anything that comes up that I'm clearly not noticing, but the hearing clerk thinks I should notice, please, I ask you to bring it to my attention, Miss Katie. Other than that, the only thing I want to say is that I want to announce the exhibits that were provided to me so I could prepare for this hearing. Exhibit one is the staff report from the Community Planning and Economic Development Department. Attached to it and listed in detail on last page of the document, that's page 12, are attachments A through N, as in Norman. And I did review all of those documents. Exhibit one and its attachments are admitted. That's it for my opening remarks. At this time, I'm ready to hear from county staff. I could ask the county planner to please unmute, state and spell your name, give me your job title, and allow me to swear you in.
Lacey Garner, LACYGARNER, Associate Planner with Thurston County Planning.
Thank you so much. If you would raise your right hand to take the oath, do you swear or affirm that your testimony will be true? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Ms. Garner, thank you very much, and go ahead.
Please excuse my sniffling as well today. As you said, Examiner Rice, we are here to review project number 2022103582, Camilche Reasonable Use Exception. Applicant is Jim Green, location 8805 Steamboat Island Road Northwest in Olympia. This is a 10-acre parcel. The zoning is rural residential resource, one dwelling unit per 5 acres. The applicant requests approval of a reasonable use exception to construct a single family residence and appurtenances partially within wetland buffers on a 10-acre forested undeveloped parcel. The parcel is almost completely encumbered by two Category 3 wetlands and their associated wetland buffers. The standard size of these buffers is 220 feet from the wetland edge plus a 15-foot required construction setback. The wetlands have been designated as wetland A to the east and wetland B to the west, as can be referenced in attachment H on the map, and that might be helpful for reference as I describe what is being requested for each. There are no other critical areas affecting this site. The project proposes a 25% reduction of wetland A standard buffer to 165 feet and proposes the septic tanks, septic lines, primary and reserve septic drain fields within this area, which totals approximately 3,081 square feet of standard buffer impacts to wetland A. Access to the site is from Steamboat Island Road Northwest to the east. Wetland A extends parallel to Steamboat Island Road for much of the width of the property. The project proposes a driveway along the southern property boundary, which is as far from the wetland as possible, which is approximately 44 feet from wetland A at the closest point, and which would be an approximate 80% buffer reduction for the driveway at its closest to the wetland as it travels west to the proposed residence site. The driveway is approximately 5,252 square feet of proposed standard buffer impacts to wetland A. The entire driveway is approximately 7,659 square feet with parking area outside of the wetland buffers adjacent to the proposed residence. The proposed residence is 3,057 square foot footprint and is outside of the wetland buffers, but has a proposed reduction of the construction setback from 15 feet to 4 feet for wetland A. So the majority of the impacts proposed are for wetland A with the driveway. And wetland B, there is a proposed encroachment into the wetland B construction setback for a corner of the primary septic drain field, but no proposed impacts to the wetland or its buffer. Per the project description in the RUE application, the overall development with clearing limits comprises 20,890 square feet, which is 4.8% of the 10-acre parcel. And they propose that the rest of the property will remain in natural open space. They provided a wetland delineation and assessment report, as well as a no net loss enhancement plan as required for the RUE process. The subject property is located in rural Thurston County. The comprehensive plan designation is RRR 1-5, as previously mentioned. And so the primary permitted uses of this zoning include single family and two family residential, agriculture, and home occupations. Subject property is 10 acres. Surrounding land uses consist primarily of single-family residences zoned the same, with mostly forest land and some cleared pasture land, as well as other forested undeveloped parcels just like this one. The proposed residence will be served by a proposed on-site septic system and well, and an existing single-family well. I need to question, I wrote that it's existing and I'm not recalling. We might need to verify whether that's existing or proposed. Okay. A septic system design has been reviewed and approved by Environmental Health in November 2021. So Examiner Rice, would you like me to go through, so the Thurston County Critical Areas Ordinance sets out the process and criteria for any property owner to apply for a reasonable use exception to carry out land use or activity that is prohibited by the ordinance, and why we're here today for the reasonable use exception. So there are 8 review criteria that the hearing examiner must consider when determining whether to approve or deny the request. Would you like me to go through all 8 of those criteria and tell you my evaluation of those?
I believe that I would, but I will note for the record, of course, I've read your staff report. I believe the applicant has likely read your staff report, and there are no members of the public. So you can make it a very high level discussion if that works for you.
That works for me. I've highlighted as the highlights. I will try to keep Perfect. This as brief as possible for everyone's.
Well, I'm not in a hurry. I just don't think sure. that we need to go into, you know, great detail because we're all familiar with.
Right.
Cheers.
Okay, thank you. So for those 8 review criteria, number 1, no other reasonable use of the property as a whole is permitted by this title. Staff comments are the proposal is to construct a single family residence with appurtenances on a rural residentially zoned parcel. Although the site could be used for recreation, this use would be out of character with the surrounding uses and would be less than full use of this parcel. The total size is 10 acres, which exceeds the minimum lot size of 5 as required by the zoning. Single family residential use is the only reasonable use of the property considering the area and zoning and the environmental constraints. There and agricultural use would not be very possible on this parcel because of the environmental constraints as well. So number 2, the reasonable use with less impact on the critical no reasonable use with less impact on the critical area or buffer is possible. The applicant has taken steps to minimize the impact to the wetlands and wetland buffers by moving the initial driveway location to be as far from the wetland as possible. The reasonable use exception is needed for the driveway primarily, which is essential to access the only buildable area outside of the wetlands and associated buffers on the site. The proposed development appears to be placed as far from the wetlands as possible. Number 3, the requested use or activity will not result in any damage to other property and will not threaten the public health, safety, or welfare on or off the development proposal site. Best management practices are proposed to be used and believe that staff believes that those BMPs such as silt fences and just other drainage methods as proposed and conditioned will not result in damage to other properties and should not threaten the health, safety, or welfare on or off the site. The proposed reasonable use is limited to the minimum encroachment into the critical area and or buffer necessary to prevent the denial of all reasonable use of the property. Again, the size and layout of the property, the location of the 2 on-site wetlands and their buffers restrict potential locations for a single family residence. Access to the buildable location for a residence is needed via driveway, which has been located as far from the wetlands as physically allowed. Number 5, the proposed reasonable use shall result in minimal alteration of the critical area. As proposed, the project should have little impact to the critical areas. Construction of the driveway will require removal of trees and vegetation within the wetland buffer, but the mitigation plan provided by the applicants proposed to replant with a variety of native plants and trees that will provide more diversity, structure, and roughness for the native wildlife in the area and also remove some invasive species, which is a plus. Six, a proposal for reasonable use exception shall ensure no net loss of critical area functions and values. Again, the wetland consultant submitted the no net loss buffer enhancement plan, which proposes a one-to-one replacement ratio as required by code. And again, the invasive species will be removed to allow more native plants to occupy these areas, and the MPs will be used for during site development. Number seven, the reasonable use shall not result in the unmitigated adverse impacts to species of concern. And there are no known impacts to species of concern which require mitigation, as far as this one goes. The mitigation plan states the planting plan will provide species diversity and structure as well as roughness, which will increase habitat diversity and vegetation structure for wildlife. And then lastly, the location and scale of existing development on surrounding property shall not be the sole basis for granting or determining a reasonable use exception. And this was not, per staff's comments, the sole basis for determining our agreement with these items. The last thing I would like to note as far as Thurston County planning review goes, is the Nisqually Indian Tribe submitted a comment letter requesting a cultural resource survey be completed for the development. And as part of conditions of approval, I have requested that that take place prior to any further development applications. Great. So that concludes my staff report. There are some standard and specific conditions of approval that I have listed, but as you've said, we all have a copy of that staff report. So I'll save going over those for now. Thank you.
That's fine. That works for me. I just want to confirm a few things. The 20, so for wetland A, is it way? Yes, for wetland A, there's the septic components are designed around a 25% reduction, which can be approved administratively. So my question for you is a status question, a posture question. Has that 25% reduction been administratively officially approved, or is it necessary that this decision address and consider and approve or deny that request?
I would say that that request would be approved. However, the this current reasonable use exception process and approval is needed for the development of this site. And so therefore I would say it is needed first and foremost.
Okay. Perfect. There was also a very minor encroachment into the construction setback for a corner of the Wetland B drain field. Two questions about that. Does an intrusion into the construction setback require reasonable use exception approval?
No, it does not. That can be administratively approved down to 4 feet.
And so has it been?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, again, I would approve that contingent on the overall reasonable use exception provided that is currently being reviewed.
Great. Next question on that topic. Do we have an estimate or an actual measurement of that encroachment, or can you give me a ballpark for the square footage of that encroachment into the setback?
I do not believe that I have a numerical value for that setback.
Let me ask that question another way. Because it's a construction setback, it's 15 feet required, but you are recommending basically that it could be approved to be reduced all the way down to 4 feet.
Right.
Does the proposed improvement intrude into the 4 feet, or does it abut the 4 foot?
That is a great question, valid question, one which I have not verified yet. It's
okay.
And there has been no acknowledgement of this encroachment by the applicant, as far as I recall in writing. It's merely by the map that I see a very tiny corner going over that line,
right,
that I consider that an encroachment. And so I have not, I anticipate that that is not getting nearly down to the 4 foot minimum.
Yeah.
Setback requirement, but I have not verified that in writing with the applicant.
Great. We'll have the applicant speak to that during his presentation.
Great.
Just a couple more questions for you. Specifically, let's just get this out of the way. In the communications matrix, which is at attachment N to the staff report, the last document, and on the last page, there's a notation from Amy Kress stating that the location of the septic components on the site plan don't match the approved septic design. I just need to confirm that that was corrected with the revised site plan. Do you know that, Ms. Garner?
If you don't mind giving me a moment to pull up my record of communications from that, it must have been, I presume, or else we would not have moved forward to the hearing here.
I do note that at attachment, is it M, we have a memo from Don Peebles saying that the department recommends approval.
Exactly what I was looking for. And yes, I found that on March 23rd of this year, Ms. Peebles did provide that letter. And so that is what I would go off of to answer that question without Ms. Peebles being present to answer your specific question.
Okay. So you believe that means it was revised?
Yes.
By the revised site plan. Okay. Yes. Thank you. And I don't think that's necessary to hold the record open for her to confirm that. It's logical. I just wanted to have some discussion about
that. Thank you.
Last question. Regarding the request by the Nisqually Indian Tribe for cultural resource survey, that's attachment G to the record. And it simply says the tribe requests a cultural resources survey before ground disturbing activities. It doesn't explain, it doesn't make any explanation about. Typically, I would expect something like this property is in an area of high expectation for cultural resources or some more information than that.
Right.
This is just sort of an assertion that they want to survey. And my question really for you, Ms. Garner, is is it typical for the county to require cultural resources survey for an individual single family residence?
No, I'm not sure, actually. I don't know what the average is on those requests or what kind of projects come in on those requests. My personal experience on those requests have been that when they are related to a SEPA application and evaluation, that is when we condition those. And so I could revise my condition of approval to state that if a SEPA process was involved, then that would be a condition of conditional requirement. However, this raises a good question. I am not sure. Again,
okay.
Yeah.
So again, so this project, because it's a single family residence, it's exempt from SEPA review, correct?
Right, unless they, good question. I was initially thinking that if they were going over the threshold for cut and fill, but that is usually for development projects.
Yeah.
So you are right in that. I could seek some clarification from Nisqually Tribe on that, or the applicants could. I don't know how you would suggest I follow up on that.
Sure. Let me have a conversation with the applicant representatives on that topic before we make any decisions about how to proceed. But it strikes me that SEPA would normally be the nexus of authority for requiring the survey.
Right.
And if
right.
It's exempt from SEPA, then I'm confused about that. So
thank you for pointing that out.
Sure. No, I just wanted to have the conversation. I don't have any other questions for you, Ms. Garner. Is there anything else you want to offer for the record at this time?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Thanks for your very thorough staff report.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have a representative of Public Works here, let me ask Public Works, is there anything you'd like to add for the record, sir?
I have nothing to add at this time.
Thank you for being here. And if there are questions, we'll appreciate your presence. Thank you. All right, we are ready to hear from applicants. I note now we have both Mr. Green and Mr. Callender present. I don't know which of you will speak first.
I think I will.
Okay, great. Could you introduce yourself for the record, please?
I'm Alex Callender with Land Services Northwest. Do you need my residence?
I don't. If you would just spell your name for the record and then let me swear you in.
AlexCallender. This is Alex Callender.
Great. It's just a routine we always do, you know.
Yes.
I always make you spell it. Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you, Mr. Callender. You missed the beginning of Ms. Garner's testimony, but I will represent to you, based on my listening to it and having read the staff report, that she pretty much gave the highlights of the staff report and nothing else was really exchanged before you joined the meeting.
Having a little technical difficulty getting on.
Glad you joined us. Thank you. Please go ahead with whatever testimony you'd like to offer.
All right. So we've been working on this project for a year and a half or so now, and working through the voidance and minimization criteria. There's a wetland at the very front of the property, inconveniently located for the applicant, that he must avoid. There is a small area right on the south end of the property that is available that is not in the wetland. So no direct wetland impacts are proposed by this project. We were able to avoid part of the reason why it took us a little bit longer than usual to use or develop this proposal is because there was an old road that went through the wetland. And it was a judgment call on whether that road was viable for use as a ingress and egress to the residents. And Thurston County staff indicated they would like to have us use a different road and not try to improve what was there because it's marginal. And so this has been an interesting one because there aren't any, if we could avoid the driveway impact, we have pretty much avoided all impacts and we could have done this administratively, but of course, you know, we do have to get the driveway through there, and we've moved the driveway as far to the south as we could get. I believe it's the south, and we're right up against the property line. If we could go onto the neighbor's property, we could get further away. But of course, we don't have permission or an easement for that. And the residence is located in between two buffers, kind of sandwiched in there. And we've reduced the footprint of the residence to fit within those buffers, reduced. And I heard you mention something about the septic drain field encroaching a little bit on the construction setback, and I wasn't clear, and I still am not. I've never considered the septic a structure, so I didn't think it needed to follow the structure setbacks. It goes into the structure setback of approximately 3 feet, is what I measured. And so I wasn't concerned with that, but of course, you know, if you feel like it needs to be rotated a little bit, I suppose we could do that, but it'd be a lot of work. I don't think it'd have much impact. So other than that, I think it's a pretty straightforward project. They're going to use stormwater BMPs to reduce direct impacts from stormwater and discharges to the wetlands. And they have a mitigation plan for enhancing the wetland along the driveway, which should maintain the functions and values. It's a area equivalent to the impact area, and the septic reserve drain field was also mitigated for as far as impacts, even though that impact would not be realized until a point where the primary septic drain field failed, which we hope that never happens, but you know, that's there, why it's there. And so we provide the impacts ahead of time, actually. So there'll be a little bit of a lift, or there should be a lift of functions and values there.
Great.
Let's see. Oh, the you mentioned something about the tribal request for.
Yes.
You know, typically, I've had a couple inland projects on the Steamboat Peninsula. They have asked for at least an inadvertent discovery plan, which is what, you know, I think we could provide something like that. If we run into anything, we'll certainly notify them and allow them to access whatever may be there.
Okay, I believe the inadvertent discovery plan is in the recommended conditions of approval. The recommended condition 5 would require a cultural resources survey, and recommended condition 6 requires an inadvertent discovery plan. So it's that one is in there.
Oh, okay. I've never had a actual resources survey for something this far inland, usually unless they're on a stream. This is not, but there must be something they're interested in.
Right. I don't imagine that a cultural resources survey is free or inexpensive.
No.
So a question I would have for the applicant is whether they would object to the recommended condition to require a cultural resources survey.
Well, like you said, I can't imagine it's a welcome expense, and it seems like the inadvertent discovery plan would be enough to provide them with the assurance that they would not have their resources squandered or ruined or
harmed. Right. All right. Mr. Callender, I don't think I have other questions about the site plan. It's pretty clear, and I can see the work that was done to minimize impacts both to wetlands and to buffers, and your proposed mitigation areas are clearly depicted, and they are at a one-to-one ratio, so and staff has accepted them, so I don't have any questions about any of that.
Great. Thank you.
I don't know if you have other testimony you want to offer. I just have a couple of questions, factual questions for the record.
Sure.
Ms. Garner raised an interesting point. The well isn't shown on the site. Or there it is. Is the well existing or is the well proposed?
Proposed.
Okay, great. So it's just, if that's north, that's just west of the residence. And mm-hmm. It looks like it's right on the edge of the buffer for wetland B.
Mm-hmm. And that was honestly an area that was convenient to place on the map. And I'm not a well drilling specialist, but we'll be outside of any septic with at least 100 feet and the neighboring septic as well, and any water bodies. Well, possibly not. Yeah, the water body should be 100 feet as well.
Yeah. Okay. Then I guess the only other question I really had for the applicant was whether they had objections to the recommended conditions of approval.
Like I said, I think the cultural resources might be onerous for the applicant due to the fact that I wouldn't expect anything to be there. And if we will be careful not to impact any of those resources. So other than that.
Okay. You have your property owner applicant here. You want to find out if he has any testimony? Mr. Green, did you have any testimony you'd like to offer?
No, I mean, I've been out to that site. It's a property that I do not own. I am the real estate broker for the owner. They have essentially commissioned me to go down this process with Alex Callender. Alex has been the one that has been handling this from essentially the inception of this process. He knows this property better than I do, obviously. But I can tell you, and I can speak on behalf of the owner, Camilchi Investments, that they would probably prefer to not have to go through a survey in the beginning, but they would probably agree to some type of a plan if in fact they come across something that needs to be notified to the tribes.
So I didn't have you swear in, sir, and probably should have. Do you swear that all the statements you just made are true?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. So just to clarify, you are a representative and Camilchi Investments is the property owner?
That's correct.
All right. Great. And I understood your other comment. They probably would prefer not to have to go through a survey. I don't have other questions for you, sir, and I don't have other questions for Mr. Callender. Thank you for the materials, Mr. Callender. They're clear and fairly thorough, so I appreciate that.
The staff was a great help.
Thank you.
Great. Yeah. Thank you very much. Let me just check with our hearing clerk, Ms. Katie. It doesn't look like we have any members of the public.
That's correct. There are no members of the public.
All right. Then we won't have any public comment. Let's go back to Ms. Garner. Based on the testimony that we've had and the conversation you and I had previously, what's your current feel on your recommended condition 5? Do you still recommend that it be imposed? Do you want to do any post-hearing follow-up? What's your status?
Yes, I would like to make one clarification first. You mentioned item number 6 as a plan for an inadvertent discovery plan, and I don't know if you mean that loosely. Item number 6 just says that the applicant, if they come across anything, they must stop work and notify tribes and such. And so that's not necessarily having a written plan, but I think that that does sound like a nice offering to the Nisqually tribe. I understand what we're discussing here and that we're all wondering. I'm not in the habit of questioning them when they have that request. I don't know what they're going off of for those requests. And so I merely pass them along, but I am happy to follow up with them on this for the record and just communicate back to everyone what they say on their reasoning for this. But as far as my personal opinion goes, I can understand that for a single family residence, this isn't typically requested unless there's good reason to. So I'm in the middle, I suppose. I'm amenable to following up with the Nisqually tribe contact and getting more clarification on that. And I think just having a plan moving forward and adhering to item number 6 is a great way forward.
What language would you change about recommended condition 6 to ensure that it requires a development of and then compliance with a formally written inadvertent discovery plan?
I suppose just including a written, saying that it would be a written plan. Okay. And providing a written plan for any further development applications, just so we could pass that along to any tribal requests.
Okay, great. And then, so thank you for clarifying that. I do see the language in 6 doesn't expressly call for a written plan, but that is a standard thing. Thurston County has a standard inadvertent discovery plan. Would the applicant be able to use that?
Yes.
Great. And so Mr. Callender, is that something you and your client are amenable to using the Thurston?
Yes, I was gonna say we can find something that's been used before and it's workable.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Ms. Garner, I'm going to say this. I understand, I don't typically question the tribes either. I just noticed in this case, we have a single family residence that's SEPA exempt. SEPA is usually the nexus for authority for requiring a survey. So I feel like it would be possible for us to hold the record open for you to follow up with the tribe, find out if they have expressed reason for feeling that a survey is required, allowing them to make a case, which in theory could have happened before the hearing, but hasn't. So let's close that loop and have the communication. Once you heard from the tribe, the county, your department could then say, we'd still recommend a survey be required, or we no longer recommend a survey be required. And the applicant could respond in writing to that. And I believe we could accomplish all of that without extending the decision issuance timeline at all. Those documents could come in while other work on this is proceeding, and I can still get the decision out in the same time frame. So let's do that.
Yes,
and Mr. Calendar is nodding his head. It sounds like he is.
That'd be great. Thank you. Okay,
so let's do that then. I think, Ms. Garner, is there anything else from the county on the record before we get to the scheduling?
No, I appreciate you working with me on this and pointing out that question for us to follow up on, and I will do that.
Great. Let me just ask the applicant representatives any other commentary before we get to the post-hearing housekeeping scheduling talk.
No.
Okay. Then let's move. Today is the 9th. Ms. Garner, I'm sure you could reach out to the tribe today. How much time should I allot for you to receive a response from the tribe and then have your opportunity a chance to respond in writing? And of course, all of this post-hearing communication will happen via email, which will expedite the process. How many days, Ms. Garner?
Hopefully they could respond within 2. I will email them today, but I have no control over their response time, of course.
Clearly. Let's just say 3, just to be, let's just say we want to hear back from the tribe. The way that my decision issuance schedule works, the decision will either be due on the 25th if there's no post-hearing public comment, or on the 30th if there is post-hearing public comment. So I'm trying to make sure we get the calendar adjusted and completed before the 25th. So Ms. Garner, why don't we say we'll hear from you by Monday, the 15th?
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
And then, so that will include any response that you do receive from the Squally tribe supporting their request or rescinding their request for a survey, and then your department's recommendation based on their communication.
Sounds good. And I suppose if we do, in the rare and the unexpected event that I do not hear back from them on this, I will meet with my team and can make a recommendation of how we would like to go forward by Monday.
That's exactly how I'd like to handle it. Yes.
Okay, great.
Thank you very much. So getting the county's, hopefully tribe and county's input by the 15th, Mr. Calendar, Mr. Green, is the 19th enough time for you? Or would you like to go through Monday the 22nd to respond to it in writing?
The 19th should be fine if we...
The 19th then. All right. So I'm holding the record open for 2 things. The one submittal from the county will be tribe's comments, if any, and the department's recommendation based on tribe's comments. Or recommendation in the absence of further tribe comments. That will be due the 15th, and then the applicant will have through the 19th to respond in writing to whatever those documents say. And then your decision, again, I'm going to hold the record over for 2 days. If we get no post-hearing public comment, the decision will be due on the 25th. If we do receive timely post-hearing comment by the 11th, it will go to Ms. Garner or Ms. Katie. That will be forwarded to you, Mr. Calendar, and you, Mr. Green, for your response, and to Ms. Garner for her response. Your responses will be due Monday the 15th to post-hearing public comment, and that would generate a decision issuance deadline of the 30th due to Memorial Day holiday. I'm going to send the schedule in writing to Ms. Katie. She can send it to you so you have it in writing and it's clear. I will also ask her to post it online. Thanks very much, everybody. I hope that was all kind of made sense.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
All right, great.
Thank you.
Thanks for your work. We're concluding.
Thanks, Lacey.
Thanks, Alex. Bye-bye.
Thank you.